due to the sad departure of our beloved Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami Maharaj. And this is a letter which Srila Prabhupada had written to him on January 24, 1977. My dear Sriman Swarup Damodar Das Brahmachari, it's addressed to ISKCON Hare Krishna Land, Jew Beach, Bombay. Manipur has been an historic place for thousands of years. Arjun married the daughter of the Manipur king, and his son became the king. You are therefore descending from the original Kshatriyas. Now, you bring the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, revive Manipur's Kshatriyism, and save Vaishnavism. For this purpose of preaching in Manipur, I can go to any condition of life. I have great respect for Manipur, which was a Kshatriya kingdom long before Arjuna. You can do it. You're educated and a devotee, and we shall all help you. That is wanted. Everything can be achieved by bhakti. Make a Manipur temple like Vrindavan and Navadeep. The people there have to be a little educated in the right line, and then the whole Manipur people will support you. If you make arrangements, then whenever you say, I shall go there. Your ever well-wisher, Bhakti Vedanta Swami. In one of his purports in Srimad Bhagavatam 9.22.32, Srila Prabhupada says, it is to be understood that Parvati was the daughter of the king of a very, very old mountainous country known as the Manipur state 5,000 years ago. Therefore, when the Pandavas ruled, Manipur existed, as did its king. Therefore, this kingdom is very old, aristocratic Vaishnav kingdom. If this kingdom is organized as a Vaishnav state, this revitalization will be a great success, because for 5,000 years, this state has maintained its identity. If the Vaishnav spirit is revived there, it will be a wonderful place, renowned throughout the entire world. So, Srila Prabhupada personally states the following. Number one, that Manipur is a historic place for thousands of years. Long before even Arjuna's time, it was a Vaishnav kingdom. And the kings of Manipur were followers of Lord Ramchandra. Thereafter, when Lord Krishna appeared about 5,000 years ago, they all converted to Krishnavism or Vaishnavism. How did this happen? Arjun, though he was a great warrior, as you all know, was also a great preacher. People don't know this, that Arjun personally, along with his elder brother Yudhishthir, was very famous for actually setting an example by his personal life and conduct, not only by preaching, but by actually following the principles laid down by Lord Krishna himself. And Lord Krishna, as you remember, was a personal friend of Arjuna's, associate. But later, Arjun stated that, I'm confused, I want to surrender unto you. I have very often been like a personal friend of yours, joking and fooling around, but now no more of that. Please instruct me what I should do. This is a statement of Arjun in the Bhagavad Gita. So let us now understand how this great Vaishnav, His Grace, We all used to call him Damodar Maharaj, but it was Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. How he appeared in this place called Manipur and what happened? We are all gathered here to glorify this great Vaishnav who has appeared in our Evam Parampara, disciple of none other than His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Therefore, I would like to start from the very beginning. We have got many illustrious speakers today, and I was requested by my good friend Govind Prabhu that I should give you full background for about an hour or so. Thereafter, there will be other speakers also. In this wonderful book, A Glimpse of 25 Years of ISKCON in Manipur, it is stated that there was a king, as mentioned earlier, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. And this great king was a strong follower of Lord Krishna himself. Because he was a great follower of Lord Krishna, he converted the whole of Manipur, everyone, into a certain high standard of Vaishnavism. So much so that all his descendants were Vaishnav kings, Rajashris. They were not only Raja, but they were like Rishis. They themselves used to form an example for the rest of the population. And this went on for thousands of years. In fact, the names of several of the kings are mentioned here, but I will not go into the detail because there is a chronological order of 18 of them. We will come straight to modern times. When it is said that modern times, we are not talking about this century, we are talking about 1752. That is the modern times, according to this book. So in 1752, the great king, Kekumbha, he was Lord Vishnu's disciple. He himself claimed that I am a servant of Lord Vishnu, and he followed the principles. He built a great temple known as the Vishnu Chakra Temple. As you know, there are many, many temples all over India for Lord Vishnu, including the one at Nathdwara, where the flag of Lord Vishnu is on top of the temple, and there are many devotees who are Vaishnavas who don't even go into the temple every day in the morning, but they pray to the flag of Lord Vishnu, which is on top. Because they say that that's the top of the temple. There's so much rush in the temple, we can even from our home pray to Lord Vishnu through his flag. So some are devotees of Lord Vishnu's chakra, some are devotees of Lord Vishnu's shankha, gada, and so on. So here was a case where on the advice of the Brahmana, the king had a temple constructed for the chakra and instituted regular worship, which was continued by his descendants. What happened thereafter was phenomenal, because Lord Chaitanya appeared, as you all know, and he first introduced in the 17th century this deep-rooted philosophy of Vaishnavism and revived, because he is none other than Lord Vishnu himself. He is Lord Krishna, actually, in the mood of Radharani. And in his disciplic succession appeared the great Acharya Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sent five of his leading disciples to Manipur. And they revived, because over a period of time, there is always a tendency of lethargy. People become convalescent. They start losing the energy, enthusiasm, and the dignity is sometimes watered down of the temple and so on, and temple worship and the Brahmanas, the Vaishnavas. So again, there was a great boost and revival at the time of Lord Chaitanya. So the king at that time became extremely fond of these five disciples. His name was Bhagya Chandra, who descended on the throne in 1759. And it is this king who made Manipur from small, small principalities into one solid kingdom. In 1762, the Burmese king, the neighboring king of Burma, attacked. And he unfortunately received the support of this king's own uncle, maternal uncle. And this maternal uncle and this foreign king of Burma managed to dethrone this Vaishnav king, Bhagya Chandra. And this Bhagya Chandra went to the neighboring king of Assam, who was a personal friend of his. The personal friend, the king of Assam, was very happy. This king's name was Rajeshwar. And this king Rajeshwar treated him just like a brother. However, this envious uncle wrote to the king of Assam that actually speaking, the original real king of Manipur has died actually. This is a substitute fellow who is a absconder, and he's just a person who's behaving like a king, but he's not, he looks very similar, but he's not the real original one. This had an unfortunate influence on the king of Assam. So our friend Bhagya Chandra noticed that my friend one day was so close to me like a brother, and the next day he asked me to live outside the main palace into a, like a, where the horses and stables and all that is kept in a guest house sort of. But he asked him to go away from that place, from his own palace. So he realized. But our friend only depended on Lord Krishna. He prayed and prayed to Lord Krishna that why is this happening? Lord Krishna appeared in his dream and he said, you should not worry about the past. You should always think of the present and the future and about your own Krishna consciousness. But the past is too long. Prabhupada used to say, you have millions of lives. If you are going to worry about the past, you will waste your whole life of this time and not succeed in your Krishna consciousness now. You will be only talking of past. This has been unfortunately the condition of India also. There have been people in India talking always about the past and not preparing for the future, which has been ruined. Now, fortunately, because of Prabhupada, we are now having a very strong future. Similarly, at that time, this great king, Bhagya Chandra, he prayed all night to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna appeared in a dream to him. And he said that you will shortly be tested, because this friend of yours, because sarvasya chaham radishanni vishto smriti jnana pavanacha vedesya sarve aham ave vedyo vedanta krutved 15.15 Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is residing in everybody's heart. He gives knowledge, he gives forgetfulness. Everything is from Krishna originally. So I am going to tell him, and I am telling you now in advance, that you will be put in an arena where there are wrestlers, but instead of your, he will ask you not to wrestle with other wrestlers, human beings, but with a wrestler who is an elephant. So you have to wrestle with an elephant. Now that is impossible. Almost. I mean, it's only Krishna could have wrestled with that elephant. And in Mathura, there was a maddened elephant belonging to Kans who was made thoroughly drunk, and he was irritated to such an extent that the elephant Kuvalapit, wasn't it? So Kuvalapit had attacked actually Krishna, and how Krishna is a wonderful story. Children love always that story. How Krishna defeated and killed this great huge elephant. Now the same thing was going to happen. Krishna told this fellow that Kuvalapit's descendant is going to come and attack you. But don't worry, I'm going to ride on him. So he felt very happy. And furthermore, Lord Krishna says, to establish Vaishnavism, all you do is chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So our friend, King Bhagya Chandra, was told, take your beat bag, Only that, beat bag and chant. Let the elephant come, you see what happens. So the next day, the whole arena, the big wrestling arena, was filled to the capacity. Because everybody knew that there is this king is of a neighboring country. He is going to wrestle. But they didn't know with whom he was going to wrestle. Because Bhagyachandra knew, because it came in the dream, that an elephant is going to wrestle with me. Krishna himself told. And this king of Assam called Rajeshwar, he only knew that he was not going to send the king's wrestlers, but he was going to send the elephant. So here comes this huge big elephant, and everybody is shocked that how can a man wrestle with an elephant? And the king announced that if you are the real king of Manipur, you will be able to subdue this elephant. That is our test. Actually, King Krishna only told that king of Assam that you do this. Look at how Krishna can do so many nice things at one time. So, this elephant came in a maddened rush, and everybody remembered the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kolapit attacking Krishna and Balaram. So, whatever was done was actually to remember Krishna at all times. What is that? 9.34. Isn't it? Man mana mad bhakta. Always think of me. Always remember me. Always think of my activities and his pastimes. Isn't it? And so, as the elephant advanced ferociously towards our friend, King Bhagyachandra, suddenly the elephant became very uncomfortable. As if he was being hit so hard that he was virtually knocked off and became terribly subdued and started crawling towards Bhagyachandra like a little lap dog and put his head down at his lotus feet and put his trunk right down, and Bhagyachandra walked on his trunk, walked on his head and sat on the elephant. And everybody in the public started crying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. They were so happy because they were very unhappy earlier that a human being, you know how much a human being weighs and how what is his size and strength compared to an elephant, full-grown elephant. So with this, our king of Assam, Rajeshwar, he was convinced that this is the genuine king. And he apologized to him publicly that I had these doubts in my mind. But now I know that you are the real king. Let us get together and defeat the original king of Burma who has taken over Manipur. So the two of them advanced, attacked. That is how Manipur was revived back into India. Otherwise today it would have been part of Burma. Now, to glorify this wonderful achievement of having won back his kingdom, what does a devotee do? What does a devotee do? Glorify Krishna. Simple. So he immediately called equivalent to our friend Gauranga Prabhu and said, let us have Krishna Katha and let there be a nice chanting of the holy name. And there were nice kirtans and everything. And it happened to be like last night, Sharad Purnima. So, in those days, normally women did not take part in, you know, public dancing and so on. But the king ordered his young virgin daughter, that's written here, to actually participate as Radharani, the central figure of all the gopis. And her friends actually participated as ladies. Therefore, when you see a Manipuri dance, which many of you must have seen, their clothes are totally different from the ones you see in Bharatanatyam or in some of our other dances. Because they have a different type of dress. That dress totally encloses a lady. You see? You can't see her legs, you can't see her hand. Totally, you know, they're protected sort of. So that was designed at that time. And she, this young girl, she became so Radha conscious that she forgot to get married also all her life. She took Krishna as a husband. So the king was very happy. He said, yes, I agree. You should marry a king of Vrindavan, that is Krishna. And she became a great follower of Lord Krishna. The king himself, thereafter, when he became, after, I think it was 40 years of rule, he handed over the power to his son. And he retired to where? He went to Radhakund. And there at Radhakund, he gave up his body. And today, his samadhi is at Radhakund. Thereafter, there are about 10 kings. All of them were Vaishnava kings in this lineage. In this kingdom then, a great Vaishnava appears. This great Vaishnava appears in 1937. On Thursday, December 9th, 1937, in a small village called Tobul. Tobul village of Manipur state, he is born in a Vaishnava family of a Vaishnava father and mother. He was given the name by his family as Thodam Damodar Singh. Thodam Damodar Singh. And he studied in Calcutta. There is a long list of various education. I'll just read out the highlights. He did his BSc with first class honors in chemistry from Guwahati University and his Master of Technology degree with first class honors from Calcutta University. He received a master's MS degree in chemistry further from Canisius College in Buffalo, New York. Then a very strange thing happened. He then went to California. We have now gone all the way 5,000 years. We are now at 1970. In 1970, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was not called Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, but he was not even Dr. T.D. Singh. He was just Mr. T.D. Singh. This young man, Mr. T.D. Singh, he was doing his thesis for his PhD, but there was one senior to him, an Indian gentleman called Dr. Rao, who was already past his PhD, was already a lecturer there. One day, these two gentlemen were walking on the beach and they noticed these Hare Krishna devotees doing kirtan. And they were astounded. They couldn't believe it. How could it be that so many thousands of miles away, Vaishnavas are singing and dancing? So they were attracted to them. And our friend, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, was not keen to join them, but he was at a distance. Whereas the other gentleman took part, and they were both invited for prasadam, but at that time, Mr. T.D. Singh decided not to participate. So only his friend went. Though his friend was pulling him, he didn't go. Somewhat like when Prabhupada, originally, there was Narendranath, wasn't it? A friend of his. So Narendranath was pulling him, but Malik, no? Narendranath Malik. But he didn't go. But then later on, he did go. So Dr. Rao went repeatedly, and suddenly he was Prabhupada announced that he would come to this famous place, Los Angeles. And so they were very keen. So at the last minute, Dr. T.D. Singh, our Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, dropped out. Just when the car was starting, he said, I'm not coming. I've got some work. I have to finish this work in time. I have this assignment and so on and so forth. Whatever it is, it's written in his biography that he decided to not join. So this Dr. Rao, it was his car and he was started the car already. So he decided not to stop the car but take it. When he went there, he was so much impressed by Prabhupada that he surrendered to Prabhupada and said, I want initiation. So this Dr. Rao became Ramanand Rai Das. He took initiation. In fact, on the day when he announced, he didn't tell anyone, not his family, not his even his best friend, Dr. T.D. Singh, that he's going to take initiation from Prabhupada. But the morning, later on, the morning he was to take the initiation, he never told anyone, but he told Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, at that time Mr. T.D. Singh, that look, this is the end of our friendship. So he got a shock. You are not interested to come to see this great Acharya, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So I'm leaving you now. I'm going to take initiation. Now, Bhakti Swarup Maharaj knew what is initiation because he came from a Vaishnava family. He said, this is a very, very serious commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. I'm not prepared to take it. Why are you prepared to take it? He tried to tell him, actually, that this is a very serious, not from the point of view of disheartening him, but from the point of view of making clear that this is going to be a very, very firm, long-term, one-way commitment. So he said, no, I have decided to go and you come with me. Because of that, he came, because of the initiation. So first time he saw Prabhupada was at the initiation of his best friend, Ramanand Rai Prabhu. Unfortunately, Ramanand Rai Prabhu subsequently died too young. So that is why we have not had association with him. So what happened at the time of his initiation, Prabhupada did the actual fire sacrifice, everything Prabhupada alone had to do, even sometimes cooking. And then he called them to his room. The moment he saw Mr. T.D. Singh, Prabhupada stopped looking at anybody else, but zoomed in on him only. For minutes, he looked at him. I remember Prabhupada's vision because I used to see him also. It was like an X-ray machine looking through you. Believe me, your whole life would be in front of you. You would be naked. Everything would come out. So in his biography, it is written that he felt, totally dismembered. The body became separate and the soul became separate. That was the vision of Prabhupada. That was the ability of Prabhupada. He could see through and through, right up to your soul. And the communication was soul to soul, not body to body. Not like these Hindi movies, Aankh Se Aankh Mila Diya. So, it was soul to soul. So here is Prabhupada, first time meeting Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj in 1970. 1970 means just 1 year before our own Radhanath Maharaj met Prabhupada in 71 in the Cross Maidan. So Prabhupada looked at him without anything. He said, you are from Manipur. It is a Vaishnava kingdom country. You should be preaching the philosophy of Vaishnavism. And why are you here? He asked him. So he had to explain. So he explained that he was doing his PhD thesis on inorganic chemistry. And he had multiple degrees, bachelor's, master's and so on. So Prabhupada said, all right, you finish your degree. Don't let go. But remember, you have to preach to the scientific community of America. The reason is, in America, USA and other countries, if you have a PhD degree, then you are recognized by other PhDs. It's somewhat like a medical conference. If you have an MBBS or an MD degree, then other doctors will listen to you. If you tell them that I have 40 years experience but I don't have MD degree, they're not going to listen to you. They'll say you are a quack. So the same thing used to happen in the scientific arena. That's why Prabhupada was speaking fantastic scientific knowledge. But it was not being accepted. Though Prabhupada delivered the truth, absolute truth scientifically, but it was not being absorbed or understood because there was a wall of this sort of qualification that you have to be a PhD. So this gentleman was told that you must become PhD. and continue your studies. He became so fond of Prabhupada that he would go wherever, after that date, he would go wherever Prabhupada used to come, used to go for morning walks. He would listen to Prabhupada's lectures, read Prabhupada's books, and Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj became extremely close to Prabhupada, to the extent that Prabhupada used to treat him like his own son at all times. And very often used the language, our Dr. T.D. Singh. He used to use the word, our Dr. T.D. Singh. Then what happened was that Prabhupada kept on reminding him that, look, you have to preach to higher and higher levels of scientists. In the realm of science, the higher levels of scientists are all given Nobel laureates. They are called Nobel laureates. Most of you are aware of that. So, that's how I came in the picture. I was told today morning only when I inquired. Where is it? I was told that in 1981, under the instructions of Prabhupada, in 1981 we formed the Bhakti Vedanta Institute, of which Dr. T.D. Singh, that is Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, was the president, and I became the general secretary of this institute. And our job was to preach in the IITs, because in India, IITs are recognized to be the topmost institutions for science and technology. Of course, when Giriraj Maharaj and myself used to go there, along with sometimes Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was with us, but very often the other gentleman in our team was Sadaputa Das, a great mathematician known as Dr. Richard Thompson, who went to Cambridge University, and Dr. Michael Marchetti, Madhav Das. He was from New Jersey, and he was a very close friend of mine, who is now still a Vaishnava, but somewhere else. So we used to go and preach. And Bhakti Swarup Maharaj used to, at that time, he was not a initiating guru, because Prabhupada was just alive and at the last stage in 1977, in 78. And then we formally made this Bhakti Vedanta Institute. And this Bhakti Vedanta Institute, we had in 1986, a huge big symposium, which was one of the biggest one in the world, where several Nobel laureates from USA, from England, from Europe, from India, of course. India, we had Dalai Lama at that time. And we had invited Mother Teresa also, but I think she was sick or something. At the last minute, she didn't come. But the current lady, Nirmala, Sister Nirmala, she came, whom I know quite well, who has taken over from this lady, Mother Teresa. In fact, I met her the other day in Iceland, of all places. Reykjavik, my wife and I had gone. So, we feel that Prabhupada was very much giving maximum attention to Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And it is extremely sad that Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who was so close to Prabhupada, has left us just a few days ago. He had a massive heart attack in Calcutta, and he must have joined. It's a fact, because it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Firstly, it is stated, what is that? Suchinam Sriyatam Gehe, Yoga Brashta Jayate Suchinam Sriyatam Gehe. So he had already been born in a Vaishnava family. So the first part is done. He was already almost fully finished his Krishna consciousness in his previous life, which he obviously has completed in this life. So now he goes wherever Prabhupada must have called him. In fact, I remember when a very, very close friend of ours, all of us, when he had a very serious infection of hepatitis, Sridhar Maharaj, he left this world. I felt very sad, and I was praying to Prabhupada, please don't call any more of our devotees Because Prabhupada had that style. Suddenly he would call some person from here to there and there to there, and he would transport them. For instance, China, we had been to China, and there were many disciples in Fiji and China of Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj. So Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj also left this world to join Prabhupada. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj has left our world to join Prabhupada. Because it's very clear that they had a very, very intimate relationship. I'll read out to you what he himself has said. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj told one of his senior most disciples, when they must have talked to each other in a very, very intimate mood. So Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj himself says that my Guru Maharaj, means Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj is none other than Narad Muni. So I'll just read out the exact wording. He felt that just as Narad Muni was so kind that even Valmiki, who was a hunter, who was a killer, he was made into a devotee. There are other instances of other hunters who were, one hunter was keeping animals half dead, half alive, and he used to enjoy when these animals would scream and shout. Then he said, my father taught me like this, so I am doing like that. But Narad Muni made him into such a great devotee that he wouldn't even hurt ants who were walking. Narad Muni even made a cobra, a snake, into a disciple. What to speak of white monkey-like people. So Prabhupada used to say, my monkey army, correct? So that Sita, who was taken away by Ravan, it was the great Hanuman's army which brought Sita back. So he used to say that this great knowledge and wealth of India is like Sita Devi. It was taken away, so we are bringing back. So in that respect, he always honored his disciples to be like Hanuman. So here is a case where Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj has left us, no doubt, but he has left a great legacy for us. He has taught us how we should approach the topmost people of the world. In his biography here, you will see pictures of him with the Pope. You will see him with George Wald, a Nobel laureate in biology from Harvard University. He was with Professor John Eccles, Nobel Prize winner in physiology and medicine. He was with Dalai Lama, of course, with Mother Teresa. All these pictures are here. He has been with Dr. Oscar Arias, Nobel Prize winner in peace, and with the South African great Reverend Tutu. And Muslims, yes, even the head of Islam in, I remember I was sitting next to him in Calcutta once in the after this Bombay convention we had in Calcutta. So Khomeini means head of the Islamic order. So he was invited. We had invited, but we never thought he'll come. But he came. I mean, it happens in life. Sometimes you invite guests because you have to technically invite them. And you know that they'll not come. But then suddenly they turn up. So you can't say no to them. So here was a chief of Islam suddenly sitting next to me. And Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj said, you take care of him. I said, how can I take care of this guy? But anyway, this happened to me. And I said, Maharaj, you take care of him. I am no good at taking care of this. He says, you know Quran? You can talk Quran with him. I don't know Quran. He refuses to talk anything except Quran. So you talk Quran. So I said, what Quran I'll talk? Let's talk Chaitanya Charitamrita. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Chant Kasi, I can talk to you. When I talked to him, he was astounded. He couldn't believe his ears that there was a Muslim who heard her, and he didn't know who was Lord Chaitanya. So it was a great time to preach. So in that respect, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj personally phoned me from Calcutta that I've got shocking news. The head of the Islamic Study Institute of Iran is coming from the university. So you have to be in charge with him. So I had to fly from Bombay only to meet this Islamic fellow. So what to do? And like that, it was a very nice relationship we had. He was very close to us in Juhu. Though, in the last 5-7 years, he didn't come only to Juhu because he was very, very busy in Manipur. He established one of the most beautiful temples in India, in Manipur, because that was the instruction of Prabhupada, that as good a temple I have made in Bombay, Juhu temple, or the one at Vrindavan, you have to make a third one at Manipur. And he did do that wonderful work just before he left this world. It was very unhappy or it was unfortunate that a big terrorist group in that part of the world, they threw some bomb or something in the last Janmashtami, because he comes from a Kshatriya family and they were trying to blackmail him and ask for 1 crore rupees protection money, which he refused. And they blew a bomb at the stage where they were having some Krishna Leela performance. He was injured also, but he succumbed to a heart attack at that time. So now my exact 1 hour is up. So Govind Prabhu asked me to speak 1 hour. If there are any questions or any comments on this, then we can go on to the next personality. Hare Krishna.
So on behalf of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and on behalf of our Radha Gopinath Temple, I attended the Saramadhi ceremony of His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. And in that ceremony, I heard many things from His God brothers as well as His disciples. So I'll just give that in nutshell, few points. As Siraji Prabhu pointed out that how His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj had Vaishnava upbringing. And his father was, his job was a kirtan singer. And he would full-time sing kirtans. And as Siraji Prabhu pointed out, like Manipur is a Vaishnava state. And the direct disciple of Narottam Das Thakur initiated the Manipur king. So all the bhajans of Narottam Das Thakur are translated into Manipuri. And that's how all people of Manipur, they sing Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans. So that was a job of his father, who would be always singing this Vaishnava bhajans. And that's his full-time job. His mother also in his childhood would always narrate the stories from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Ramayana, to then that time his father and mother gave him the name Damodar. And then as a young boy also, he would be always worshipping Gaur Nittai, Lord Jagannath. And his father actually died at very young age. And he had just a very little inheritance left. And that's the time was Second World War. So the family had to shift to save themselves from Japanese who were attacking from northeast. So the family had to shift. At that time, the Maharaj had to leave his studies and work on the paddy fields. So he was such a brilliant student, but in order to support the family, his mother and the sisters, in the rainy season time, 4 months, he would just give up his studies, but would study in the, and work in the paddy fields. And that's how he could take care of his mothers. And somehow or other, later on, there was one caretaker, one person, related to his family. He saw that this is such a brilliant boy, and instead of going to school and study, he has to work in paddy fields, but he has a bright future. So they sponsored his studies, and that's how he could study. And right from the beginning, he had such attraction for reading of Krishna's pastimes that one day it so happened, next day was exam, and previous whole night he was reading Krishna's last Lila chapters, and he completely forgot that next day he has to appear for the exams. So, in spite of spending sleepless night, he could appear for the exams and also could get distinctions also. So, he was like outstanding student in Calcutta University. In 1965, he went to USA. And when he was in USA, his mother passed away. And when Maharaj came to know that his beloved mother is gone, so that time he started collecting Lakshmi so that he can come and attain the Shraddha ceremony of his mother. But he had his one uncle who sent him a telegram saying that you are from Vaishnava family and Vaishnavas do not lament like this. We preach that we are not this body but the spirit soul. So at this stage, you should give up your lamentation. Please concentrate on your studies and all of us will take care of all the ceremonies that are needed. And that's how he cancelled his coming to India. And in that time, he was feeling a lot of separation from his mother. And that's the time his friend Dr. Rao took him one day for outing. And that's how they saw the Harinam Sankirtan party on the street. And as Sinaji Prabhu mentioned it, that initially he was hesitant to go because Maharaj had little different opinion about the Swamis who went to USA. And he knew that so many of them were doing so many of malpractices, so he was not interested much to go and visit. So whenever his friend would request him that, why don't you come? So he would reply, see, you have finished your PhD doctorate, so you can go wherever you like, but I have to study. And that's how he delayed visiting Srila Prabhupada. But on the day of when Dr. Rao was supposed to get initiated, that time he put up a condition that today either you come with me or I'll stop talking to you. So and when that's the time then he understood that I can't give up my friendship with this person because he's so insistent, so let me go once. So when he visited Srila Prabhupada, and that before the initiation ceremony, Srila Prabhupada sang Panchatattva Mahamantra. And we have seen that many people get attracted to Krishna consciousness through various means. Now some like prasadam, some different kind of things. But here Maharaj was attracted to the singing of Srila Prabhupada. When he heard this kirtan, as he was, his background was listening to the Vaishnava kirtans, immediately he came to, that thought came to his mind that I should accept this person as my spiritual master. And after that, after some time when Maharaj got initiation from Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave him the name Swarup Damodar. And after that, we see that this Maharaj had a lot of personal association of Srila Prabhupada. Probably he is the next to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, who would have got so much personal instructions from Srila Prabhupada. And that's how, like, always you must have seen so many pictures where he is with Prabhupada, either holding mic or carrying the tape recorder, having lots of conversations. And that's the time, like, one of his very godbrother, Bhojadeva Prabhu, he explained that how that's the time in the temple, the situation was like the most of the devotees who were initiated by Prabhupada were coming from hippie families. And they were teenagers. None of them had any Vaishnava background. So in that whole crowd, Maharaj stood out because he was coming from Vaishnava family. He was little elderly than them. And he was very quiet. And he had a very good manners. And naturally, Srila Prabhupada also gave him a lot of attention. And he was saying, Bhojadeva Prabhu was mentioning, that that's the time there was one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Karandar Prabhu, was there. And he was considered as a leader. And he was the one who applied this process seriously. And he would take care of all the junior devotees who would guide them in their Krishna consciousness. And suddenly, one day, he left the Krishna conscious movement. And that was such a big shock for all the junior devotees who were staying in the temple. They were saying that he was the very senior, sincere, and he was guiding us and he has left. So what chance is there for us to be surviving? So that's the time Maharaj, he took all those junior devotees under his wings. He preached to them, see, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, in that there are so many incidences where so many sages had difficulties in their spiritual life. So many sages had fall downs. So this process is valid. Only thing is, some people may not apply it properly and they may not get success. So this kind of fall downs are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you shouldn't be so much worried about this kind of things. In devotional service, sometimes these things keep happening. And that's how he brought together the ashram in those days. And then, as all of you know, that Srila Prabhupada wanted him to take care of the scientific preaching. And once in Vrindavan, that's a famous conversation where Srila Prabhupada was asking Maharaj that how much money you will need for our scientific preaching. So Maharaj replied that, I don't have any idea. I don't organize the things. And His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sitting on there and said that for this kind of preaching, we will have to give him $10,000 per month. So in 75, 76, $10,000 per month was a very big sum. So Srila Prabhupada told him that immediately write it to Rameshwar Maharaj Bebeti, that from Bebeti he should be getting $10,000 per month. And if they fail to give, I will give you from my own Guru Dakshina. And then there was a discussion about what name we should give for this institute. So immediately Maharaj replied that we should name this institute at Bhaktivedanta Institute. So Prabhupada was a little reluctant. He says, why you want to give my name? But Maharaj instead said, no, this name has to be there because we want to keep you in the center. And that's why the name should be Bhaktivedanta Institute. Then there is always a logo. So when there is an institution has a logo. So logo also he kept Srila Prabhupada's picture. And then Srila Prabhupada would always have a lot of discussion with Maharaj to situate that he is first convinced about Krishna conscious philosophy. If you are convinced, you can preach to others. So in order to see how much he is convinced, you will always have a lot of conversation with him. And then you have seen that Srila Prabhupada in his preaching many times uses very heavy words against the scientist. And many times even he calls them as a rascal also. But when you are actually talking to them, relating to them, you have to behave, Prabhupada entirely be dealt with them in a different manner. Once when Maharaj brought one of the scientists, Benchford, to Srila Prabhupada, so Srila Prabhupada had a nice discussion with him. And after that, all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada brought a huge Mahaprasad plate for Prabhupada. There were so many items were there. And they brought the plate and kept in front of Srila Prabhupada. Immediately, Srila Prabhupada pushed that plate to that scientist and said, this is all for you. So by this example, Srila Prabhupada said that we may talk to prove certain point, but when actually we went to preach to them, you have to befriend with them. It's not that you will win them by arguments, but you will have to win them by heart. And that's how we have seen when Bhakti Sarupa Damodar Maharaj would arrange these conferences, he would make friendship with many of these scientists. It was mentioned that there was very famous Nobel Prize winner, Charles Townes. When he celebrated his 90th birthday, that time about 27 Nobel Prize winners gathered together to celebrate his birthday. And that is considered as the largest gatherings of all Nobel Prize winners. And he, for his birthday, invited Maharaj. And he saw to it that Maharaj comes and attends this function. So that's how we could see that this was vision of Prabhupada, that he wanted whenever to preach to scientists means you make nice friendship with them. And that's how they also responded. There was another famous scientist who After becoming friends with Maharaj, he made a statement that God is a person. So when a scientist who has of international standing, when he makes a statement like this, that God is a person, it has got a lot of weight. And that's how he carried out his BI preaching. And as far as his personal qualities are concerned, many of these Prabhupada disciples were saying that how he was very humble, he was very friendly, a very great kirtan leader. At the same time, even though he was so much qualified, he was very easy to approach. And one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who was the temple president of Vrindavan that time, Dhananjay Prabhu, he mentioned it that once Maharaj was sitting, Dhananjay Prabhu was sitting, and Srila Prabhupada was there. So looking at Dhananjay Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada said, during the British rule, Scottish missionary went to Manipur and they converted so many Vaishnavas into Christianity. Now you are Vaishnava, you should go to Manipur and convert all those Christians back to Vaishnava line. So immediately Dhananjay Prabhu applied, because if you want to visit Manipur state, you need a special permit if a foreigner has to visit the Manipur state. So he applied for that permission, but there was no response. And after 16 years, he got permission to visit Manipur, but that was only for 5 days. So he shared his impressions about Manipur visit. That time he was saying that how Maharaj that time took form, that Krishna consciousness was firmly rooted in Manipur. He had so many activities going on about cultural centers. At the same time, another thing is, apart from this scientific preaching, he had done lot of initiative of bringing together all the different religious leaders together, and he had like united religion initiatives. So sometimes, like, you know, people from all faiths would come, and they would come in the different processions. And he said that in Manipur, you will find so many varieties that you will not find anywhere else in the world. So many people will come, some those who worship snakes, some will have very weird kind of dresses, weird kinds of hairstyles. So all these groups would come, and then ISKCON devotees would also come there and hold Nagar Sankirtans. And he was saying that how all these Manipur people would very carefully serve the Vaishnava guests. Now they had the custom of closing their mouth, covering their mouth and head while serving the prasad. The prasad also would be arranged in a very, very attractive manner. And Maharaj was so concerned about taking care of the Vaishnavas, that a very small thing he mentioned about Maharaj, that once the 5 days were over, so Dhananjay Prabhu had to go back to Vrindavan. So he came to see Maharaj, and he saw Maharaj was very busy talking to some government officials. So Maharaj arranged a car for him. So Dhananjay Prabhu, from distance, offered his obeisances, sat in the car and went to airport. And after half an hour, he found that Maharaj finished his talk with his government officers and came to meet Dhananjay Prabhu at the airport. And he said that, I wanted to have a nice I wanted to take nice care of you, but because I was busy, I couldn't take it. So that's why I came. So he sat on the airport, had a nice talk with him, and see to it that he nicely goes back. So even if it is a small gesture, but we can see how Vaishnava is so particular about taking care of small details. But from that, we can see the real love in the heart is manifested in that. So that, like, he was also mentioning that how he was so much of caring that once he remembered that there was a GBC meeting and very important topic was to be discussed and he himself was supposed to be presenting that. But on the way to the meeting hall, he met with elderly Vaishnav lady. Then he immediately started asking about all her welfare. At that time, he completely forgot that he has to attend a GBC meeting in which a very important matter is to be discussed. And then as far as this Manipur blast is concerned, when blast took place, many of his god brothers called him, says, how is your health, how the things are happening. So that time he said that I don't have time to take care of my body because see, there are 62 devotees are injured. So I go from bed to bed, hospital to hospital, taking care of the devotees. So I don't have much time to see. He said there is some injury on my left hand. And later on we could see when he was shifted to Calcutta, he had to undergo 2-3 operations because initially stage he didn't take the proper care. And then one of his personal servants mentioned that he had very nice relationship with Atreya Rishi Prabhu. He is also one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And that was the last letter written by His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He personally wrote a letter to his friend. And in that he mentioned that last time when I came to America, I was looking for you. But somehow or other we couldn't meet. In a day, almost 12 times he tried to contact him. Somehow we couldn't meet. And then he was mentioning that how in this Manipur blast, he said that they targeted me. And because of me, so many Vaishnavas were injured. So because of that, he was lamenting that how because of myself, 6 people have died, so many have been injured. In fact, actually, he was not the cause of this disasters. It was the terrorist who targeted him. But still he was feeling that it was because of me so many people had to suffer. And then he was saying that about the after this Manipur blast, he became little bit indifferent about his preaching engagements. Like when he was shifted to Calcutta, he would stay in his office in Calcutta. But most of the time, he'll be engrossed in just listening to the Vaishnava Acharya's songs. And he would get up in the morning, he would chant his rounds. After that, he would be constantly listening to Vaishnava songs and then take some prasad. Again, he would go and keep constantly listening in his room alone all these Vaishnava Acharya's songs. And whenever his friends would call, they could immediately see the difference that instead of always talking about arranging of different conferences, writing about different books, he would be simply talking about the Krishna's pastimes. And he shared one thing with his Bhojdev Prabhu as well as one of his travel agents came to meet him. And so this, he was the one who would be always making travel arrangements for Maharaj. And Maharaj suddenly started saying him, look, nowadays, whenever I get dreams, I see the heavenly personalities. And he started describing the different kinds of ornaments, different kinds of dresses they were wearing, and so many things. So actually the travel agent, when he heard this, he didn't say anything to that time. And like they talked about the tickets and he left. And when he came to know that Maharaj has left, he came and met the devotees. And he described all those details. And he said, that time I knew that when the people speak like this, they don't stay in this world for a long time. And I knew that Maharaj will be soon departing from this world. And in that day, like, he told his personal servant that please keep the door in between. Like, he would sleep in his room and servants would be in next room. He said, this door, you please keep it open in the night. If I need anything, I'll wake you up. So midnight, he woke up one of his servants and said that I have an acute pain in the shoulder. So you please get some ice. There's a servant also. He tried, but somehow that ice was not available. But after some time, they got the ice, applied it. And immediately, after applying for some time, actually Maharaj became unconscious. So the servant, who was very young in age and junior, and he was quite shocked to see. And he was thinking, like he was saying, Maharaj, what you're doing? Please don't do these things. And actually, he immediately left. And that day happened to be Durga Puja. So they were trying to get doctors, but somehow they couldn't get doctor till the 7 o'clock in the morning. And in meanwhile, some people from the Apollo Hospital came. And they also said, like, that Maharaj is not there. He has left, but still you have to get the doctor's opinion. When doctor came by 7 o'clock, but by then time, he was already gone. And afterwards, his body was taken to Manipur, and when it was brought to Vrindavan, and from Vrindavan, it was taken to Radhakund. So he was the first ISKCON devotee to take Samadhi in Radhakund. And he always told his disciples that I want to retire from these things. I want to go to Radhakund and spend rest of my time writing books. See, he had a plan to write many, many books about Krishna consciousness. Like, few books have recently come. But that was his main desire. He told so many of his disciples that let me retire now. He once, I think, requested to GBC also that please relieve me from GBC duties so that I can concentrate on writings. So as per the Maharaj's desire, then his body was put into Samadhi. And one thing that was told by many of his god brothers was like, now he left and after 3 days he was put into Samadhi. So usually the body becomes a stiff. So that's how they made about 8 feet by 8 feet deep. So that if they are not able to put them in the asana, they can put him in the lying position. But when his body was buried, all the items were offered. And when they started seeing whether can we put him into the sitting posture, and they could see that his body was totally flexible. Without any difficulties, they could fold his hands, legs, and make him sit in the sitting posture. And many of his god brothers remarked it, that his face was a very bright, as if he is just sleeping, and maybe at any time he can open his eyes and start speaking to us. And Bhakti Charu Maharaj made this one of his remarks, that when the spiritual master, his body is actually a spiritual body, and we fail to recognize when we work with them on the material platform. And one thing that is one of his another god brother was mentioning, that this was a time when he was getting a lot of success. He made impact on scientific community. At the same time, he's made impact on many religious leaders also. So many people came forward to donate him huge properties. And something big was about to get manifest, and suddenly he was withdrawn from the scene. So he was mentioning like his main success, he may or may not have got external success, but the fact that he was Srila Prabhupada's man, and whatever instruction Srila Prabhupada gave him, his life, he just did that, striving how to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire, and that was the real success of his life. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. We request Bansi Gopal Prabhu Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj would regularly visit his residence. Many times he came and stayed with him. And his parents were initiated by Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So he has a lot of personal association of Maharaj. So he'll speak few words.
Hare Krishna. So me and my family were really very fortunate to have a close association of Maharaj. Actually, I first met him in Burma, where I went for my business trip. That was around 10 years back. That time Maharaj had come there to Burma. He used to visit Burma regularly. He was like a father to our family, because whenever he used to come to Bombay, he used to visit our place. And he used to play with my kids. One thing about Maharaj, he was so simple and so humble, in spite of being such an enlightened person. I really appreciate his humility and his simplicity. He was been playing with Chaitanya and Dharmik. Chaitanya used to call him, in Gujarati we used to say, Gold Gappa Jeva Maharaj. So Maharaj used to love playing with the kids, and really about Maharaj, his one-pointed instructions, he has followed the instructions of Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada has told him, he has followed. Mainly many instructions were given by Prabhupada, but out of them, the three were the main. The first was to present science and philosophy of Krishna to the colleges and universities around the world and organize the conferences and seminars. And the second was to revive Krishna consciousness, systematic Krishna consciousness in Manipur. Actually, Manipur was a Vaishnava state from many thousands of years, but Prabhupada wanted the systematic Krishna consciousness to be preached in Manipur, and he wanted the Manipur to be the ideal state, a Vaishnava state, which can be presented to the world that this is the ideal Vaishnava state. And the third one was to preach Krishna consciousness culturally. So Maharaj, and about scientific presentation, Prabhupada had spoken in one of the lectures. He has told that advanced people are eager to understand the absolute truth through the medium of science, and therefore a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. And another quote Prabhupada has told, although there are so many departments of knowledge, medicine, mathematics, astronomy, physics, etc., the science of God is still to be introduced. When the scientists, philosophers, and medical men will get the opportunity to study systematically, what is God, what are his energies, what is my relationship, how to approach him, then only there will be a paradise. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.21, yad yad acharati shrestha tad tad adhrade. So whatever action is performed by great man, common man will follow. So Prabhupada wanted Maharaj to preach to the scientists. Actually, speaking in Bhagavad Gita also, there are four types of man mentioned who does not take to devotional service. Muda, Naradams, Maya Prataganes, and Asurim Bhavaprit. So this scientist and scholars comes in the category of Maya Pratyaganis. So it is actually difficult to preach this type of person. And as a scientist, to accept it was more difficult. But Maharaj wholeheartedly accepted it and preached all over the world. And it was once about Maharaj's family background, I'll say, as Sanat Kumar Prabhu already told, when Maharaj was in America, he was studying as a PhD student. His mother passed away, and he actually decided to go back to Manipur for the Shraddha ceremony. But his uncle, Canary Singh, he called him and he told that actually as a Vaishnava, Vaishnava does not lament for a death. Actually laments for the birth. To take birth again in this material world is a lamentation for a Vaishnava. So this was, so such a family background he was coming from. And from the childhood only he was hardworking. As a 7 years of age, his father passed away. And his education was been sponsored by one of Thodam family leader who sponsored his education and till matriculation. And after that, on the scholarship only he actually studied. And after finishing his master's in technology in Calcutta, he was been offered a job of a supervisor, a government job of a supervisor for all northeastern state for the small scale industry. So normally at that period of time, what background he was coming, actually speaking materially, he was not from a very much aristocratic family. He was actually, his family was very poor. But at that time, at that point of time, most of the people would have accepted that. But he was been given the other opportunity that if you don't take this job, then you'll be given the scholarship to go and study further in US. So Maharaj accepted to get that. That was also Krishna's plan, that Maharaj was to meet Prabhupada in US. And Prabhupada told about Maharaj once that after he became the devotee, Prabhupada told, you are T.D. Singh. Singh means Kshatriya. You are a Kshatriya and you are a devotee and you are also a scientist. So as a Kshatriya, you should force people to believe. And as a scientist, with your argument, you should convince them. And as a devotee, you will be helped by the Lord always. So what a combination Prabhupada used to. So, and about revival of Krishna consciousness in Manipur, he has done actually excellent job in Manipur. If anybody of you all have visited there, ISKCON was given 6 acres of land in 1981 by one donor, Vaishnava, not from ISKCON, he was a Vaishnava, but he donated this land to ISKCON, and Maharaj wanted a university of Bhagavad culture in that land. And in the same year, Maharaj started a missionary school, that was Bhaktivedanta Institute Missionary School. I think more than 1,000 students are studying in that school right now. And Maharaj wanted this University of Bhagavad culture to be the center. And he wanted the Radha Krishna Chandra Mandir to be the jewel of it, to the center of it. He told that Mani Mandir, Mani means jewel. He wanted that temple to be the jewel of that University of Bhagavad culture. As this name Manipur also, as Manipur means land of jewels. Actually, legendary tells other that once Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati, they were dancing in this state, Manipur. And when they were dancing, the many-hooded many-hooded serpent, Anantashesh, he also had come with them and he was been dancing and his crown was full of jewels. And he was so enchanted with the dancing and the music that he swayed for back and forth and his jewels used to come out from his crown and that jewel illuminated the whole place. So this, after this pastime, the land was named Manipur. So this Mani Mandir, Krishna Chandra Mandir, that what Maharaj has dreamt about was a real jewel of Manipur. So about the culturally presenting Krishna consciousness, Maharaj in 1987 he had started Ranga Niketan, which after 1990 he had toured many countries. I think more than 1,000 programs he has done all over the world. And this Ranga Niketan, they present Krishna consciousness culturally by Manipur culture. As Prabhupada had told Maharaj that you are from Manipur, your dance and music in the form of Sankirtan and Rasalila is infused with so Krishna conscious activities that it is a very nice medium to present very we can present Krishna consciousness to the world with this. So Maharaj had introduced this Rang Niketan, and all over the world this program, we used to have the martial art, their Manipuri martial arts, the special, they called it Thangta. They used to play with the sword, and so all over the world they used to distribute Krishna Prasad. The Manipuri Prasad were very famous world over. So once again I'd like to pray that such a great Vaishnava, and he was so much Vyavsayatmika Buddhi, one pointed intelligence, he used his instruction of Prabhupada. I pray at the lotus feet of Bhaktiswarup Damodar Swami Maharaj that please, that we can get maybe a sand of his lotus feet, that we can also follow all the instructions of our Guru Maharaj properly, as we won't be able to fulfill like what he did, but at least maybe a 1,000 point of that, if we can follow, it will be a great service to our ISKCON movement. So, Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol. Now we'll ask Mahaprabhu and then Rishabhanu Prabhu. Then we'll have the Pushpanjali ceremony for Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj.
हे ज्वला भक्ति स्वरूप दामोदर महाराज की. एक्चुअली आई मेट महाराज 1979 एंड ही वॉज कमिंग टू अवर प्लेस एट खार फॉर गिविंग क्लासेस एंड आई वॉज रियली एट दैट टाइम सदपूत प्रभु और माधव प्रभु they were very heavily involved, means afterwards they wanted to make this Bhaktivedanta Institute, and I was also regularly going there. I was very heavily involved in the Hare Krishna Juhu at that time. But when I heard recently this attack in the temple, and I was just thinking, just see now, the Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj has left. Then you see, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he left. And Sridhar Maharaj left. And these were the people, actually, I was very, very heavily with them, connected with them for 1978 or 79. And now, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. See, the Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, when Maharaj Radhanath Swami Maharaj present there on 1st June 1975, at that time I was present there in Gita Nagari, he made a statement that I want to die before I die. And he cut his relationship from the material world, just like Raja Parikshit cut off his relationship with material life. When he was declared, notice was given that within 7 days you will die. These people, you see, how they, even Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was, you know, when he was in Mayapur, that year he gave up his life, means on that day, prior to that, every day his home was full of, with all the devotees, and they were singing songs all the time. Just like a Prabhuji said just now that Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was all the time singing songs only. And he was, so see whether there's Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he said, now I don't want to have a relationship with anybody. Only Radhanath Swami will be with me. I'm requesting him, he should stay with me, and I want to hear Krishna Katha. Only or nothing else, no relationship with my disciples, my god brothers, or anybody else. Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, you know, he is really, Srila Prabhupada had challenged the material world. by the help of Bhakti Swarupa Damodara Maharaj. See, these scientists and these politicians combined hand together. They were fooling the world so heavily. Though, you see, this President Kennedy at that time, when this law was passed there in America, that, you know, that there is no life up to 3 months of the conception. And on the basis of Kapaldev philosophy, stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, which Bhakti Swarupa Damodara Maharaj has said, and Srila Prabhupada has convinced him so wonderfully well, he challenged all of them. And they told them that what are the laws you are passing? You are fooling people, you are cheating people, and this law of abortion is completely murder. And then he was telling people, you people are all scientists, you are rascals, you are demons. Nobody can talk like that, the way Srila Prabhupada was talking, on the basis of the philosophy of Bhagavatam, on the basis of the instruction, having support of a scientist. When he asked him that, you know, there are so many universities and colleges throughout the world, IIT, MIT, all that thing, but they know what is soul, from where the soul is coming, what is the purpose of life, who is God, what is his relationship, what is his instructions. No university is talking on the subject, what is soul. And without understanding the science of soul, your total education is all useless. You are completely reaching to the completely wrong conclusions. So this is all on the basis of the scientific force which Srila Prabhupada has got by quoting certain things from science, coupled with, you know, Bhagavatam preaching, Kapaldev teaching to Mother Devoti, and like that. And then we could talk to these scientists. Otherwise, when I was in the sixth standard in my native place, you know, there was an essay, Science, Invention of Science. And, you know, we were taught by our teachers that, you know, you have to write all these things. So we were writing. And in the end, we were writing, one day will come when the science will take its place of God. And we are writing that. Because we were fooled by these teachers. By nobody was knowing anything what we have been told. So we were writing all the time, whatever this essay book you have to read, and that's reproduce that in the examination, just without applying your mind. So that is the way it is done. But with scientific basis, Maharaj has written initially two books. When I came in the movement at that time, most of the time, last month, when I was in Los Angeles, they asked me, which book you will recommend of Srila Prabhupada to people to read? I say, I will not recommend any book of Srila Prabhupada. The Prabhupada disciple, he got shocked. He said, what you are talking? I'm like, yes. You are coming from Radha Gopinath Mandir? I'm like, yes. So, what book you will recommend? I said, I recommend first to read Science of Self-Realization. That is the proper book. If they will read that book, then they will understand Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all other books, and they will understand those books very wonderfully well. And they appreciated that. Yes, you are right. I have this too. So in the same way, initial stage in 1978 or 79, I read Bhakti Swarupa Damodara Maharaj one book, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. It's so fantastic book. I was distributing that books in hundreds to the people. Just like thereafter I just started distributing, because the science of self-realization came afterwards. It was not available at that time. The Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness, this book, and Life Comes from Life. These were the two books. They have changed the world actually by reading these books. But many people came in the Hare Krishna movement by reading these books. Thereafter, reading Prabhupada books, this science of self, this scientific basis of Krishna consciousness. Because why people are coming in our movement? Not because of this, we have something very wonderful way of life. Because scientifically, people started explaining, and Prabhupada has given explanation by delivering lecture around the world, and hundreds and thousands of questions were asked. So this movement has made so much progress by the help of Bhakti Swarupa Damodara Maharaj, who has given so wonderful method, means scientific method, to, you know, to defeat this scientific people. Most of the people, these high IT people, you know, to convince them is not an easy thing. But by reading this book, Scientific Ways, you will, as I said before, 20 years, one day you will see this, the IIT will take over the world. Whether any temple of the, you, they will be in charge of, whether it's a Vrindavan temple or Mayapur temple, or whether it is any temple, because they know actually how to, so to defeat, to convince them, you have to explain things scientifically to them. They are thinking, you know, they are working so systematic that they are invited, these scientific people are invited to serve prasadam in Vrindavan and Prabhupada disappearance day. And they do so systematically, 200 people, leader is scientist, IIT, and his assistant is IIT, and they will teach how to serve prasadam. They are famous in the world how to serve prasadam even. Nobody can serve even prasadam better than them. So today we have to learn everything from these people actually. So to convince people systematically and scientifically, we have to understand what Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj has given us in a scientific basis, and then to convince people religion is not blind faith, superstition, fear complex, sentimentalism, not like that. And once they are systematically convinced, so my Siddhanjali to Maharaj is, Maharaj, whatever you have given us, and the life, you see, Maharaj was 70 year old actually, in 37 was 1937. I am also 1937. Sir. I was, when you read out, Naji read out as 1937, yeah, I'm in the queue. So point is this, we must learn one thing, how to die before we die. That is being taught to us by Bhakti Swarup, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. We should cut, one day we have to, if we make a list, whether it's 65 or 70 or 80, that if today is my last day, so Maharaj has made, actually started preparing for that. And that's why he was, you know, devoting his time, just like Tamal Krishna Maharaj was devoting his time for bhajan, kirtan. That is the ultimate aim of life. So whatever they have done, but now some time should be given to the Lord completely, which we have to learn by the example of all these great people. These people have left, they are the top people of the Hare Krishna movement. They left, but they are teaching us that some time now, whatever time we have given to our family, whatever time we have given to our business, but one time now we have to divide, keep it separately, that is only for Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, very much. By your mercy, and whatever is the way you have taken Srila Prabhupada's instruction, you have really given so much to the world, for which we are all obliged to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mahaprabhu. We have a place for you here. You can come and stay and do bhajan. Vrishivan Prabhu, please.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada taught us that Bhagavad Gita is the science of the soul. And through his various lectures, through his writings, he very beautifully convinced people that Krishna is the supreme scientist. Despite his being able to convince the whole humanity, Srila Prabhupada nevertheless felt that a material scientist should figure in his scheme of preaching. And for this purpose, he chose His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj as his most favorite instrument. The scientists, by and large, they are not convinced just by lectures or some such thing. They require scientific proof. I belong to that fraternity once upon a time, so I can say this with conviction. And what a wonderful spiritual scientists Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj turned out to be. One only has to peruse his book, Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness, to which His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu referred just now. So if only one glances through the few pages, you come across contemporary scene of chemistry in that book, which was prevailing at that point in time. You read about crystal structure, you read about nucleic acids, RNA, DNA, virtually whatever was contemporary at that point in time when the book was written, you find it in that particular booklet. I was very much attracted to reading that book when I came into Krishna consciousness, because since I was an organic chemist and Maharaj was a physical organic chemist, so his writing really impressed me very much. And I found that he was in a position, because he was a brilliant student of science, he was in position to invoke scientific arguments which could convince the scientific community that eventually the supreme scientist is Krishna. He's a person and he's a supreme scientist. That nothing happens by chance, everything is orchestrated by the Supreme Lord. This he was able to put across very beautifully and very convincingly. I had the good fortune of meeting His Holiness way back in 1993, just when I came into Krishna consciousness. So I had visited him. I had, from the university campus, I had gone to his department there. And there I had an interaction with him for a fairly long time. He told me that you should take more interest in BI and should take more interest in preaching. But somehow or the other, Krishna drew me to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. And this attraction will never cease in life. So I continued to be here. Then another glorious occasion came in my life in the year 2000, where by the mercy of some devotees here, I had occasion to accompany His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to Manipur. So that was the occasion when Shri Radha Krishna Chandra temple was to be inaugurated. And also at that time, Maharaj had arranged, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj had arranged an international conference on science and religion. So I had an occasion to, I had double fortune. One was that I got the association of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, very intimate association, which is very memorable, etched in my heart. Then also had wonderful occasion to meet His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj there. I heard him perform beautiful kirtans. He could sing so melodiously and enthral the hearts of people. Could really charm people with his singing. And that I had experienced, and I also heard him give classes. And the international conference that he organized was such a stupendous thing. It established that not only was he a spiritual scientist completely dedicated to his spiritual master, His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, but also that he was a wonderful organizer. At that particular conference and following the conference also, practically who is who in Manipur was there for the conference. Starting from the governor, the chief minister downwards, all the ministers, all of them were there for the conference, which established how he had been able to, you know, have a rapport with the scientific community and also the bureaucracy. This was one of the dreams of Srila Prabhupada, that a day should dawn when the bureaucrats who are Krishna conscious would wield power and would, you know, administer the state. That was one of the dreams of Srila Prabhupada. And it seemed as though that Maharaj, you know, was seized of this dream and was trying to implement it. So many wonderful people came. So this establishes that Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj was a wonderful instrument in the hands of Srila Prabhupada. So this is something great for a disciple to be such a wonderful instrument. And through him, Srila Prabhupada accomplished so many things. So I would like to conclude by praying at the lotus feet of His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj that I also prove to be, if not as good an instrument, some kind of an instrument in the hands of my own spiritual master and serve him and Srila Prabhupada's mission. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. We'll conclude the talks. We'll have a... before Pushpanjali, we'll sing the song for the departed Vaishnav. Then we will stand up and offer Pushpanjali to His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj.